Well, did you let the last song minister to you? Wasn't that a beautiful song? Danny Gokey wrote that whenever his wife died, and he thought he couldn't live without her. And God brought him through that. Amen. Thought he would never marry again, but God gave him another beautiful wife, and he's very happy. So, you know. You know, I taught the other night about, are you unteachable? And then God's had me talking to people about things that are wrong in their life. And the people aren't taking it too well. Now I know why God had me teach, are you unteachable? Because if you're going to get upset with me when I bring to you what God's told me, then you're unteachable. And that's a very, very bad place to be in. And I really think you really need to sit in the presence of God and ask him to forgive you, and I think you need to get yourself right. I put together this service, What Power Does Satan Have in This World, and What Are His Limits? And then after I got it all together, charisma, somebody said out this word by Chuck Pierce. So the two of them go together. So we're going to read Chuck Pierce's word first. Father God, I thank you and I praise you for the opportunity to be here tonight. I thank you for the people who came out, Father God, to sit at your feet and hear your word and to not only hear it, but to receive it into their spirit man and then to let it change their lives. And Father God, let the anointing of Abraham, Isaac, and blessing be upon this group of people who came out on this holiday. And Father God, please bless them abundantly. And Father, we thank you. We praise you for it. And Father God, may the smiles that are on Adam and Adriana's face this day never diminish, but get brighter and brighter. And let their love change the people around about them. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to have the newlyweds back. We missed you tremendously. Now I don't have to pray that everything goes all right. I can quit praying that. Amen. Thank you, Father. All right, this is from Chuck Pierce, War for the Future. I want you to really look at what you're reading and comprehend what you're reading. This is a day that I'm calling my people to take new ground. You see what he's calling you? You're going to have to take new ground. New ground is calling you, so listen carefully as I give you the very boundaries of your future. I've been working in you, but now I'm calling you into a place you've not been before. This is a time for the impartation for war. I am imparting war into my people, and one generation will teach another generation to war. Shift now to know and understand your place for days ahead. Shift now to hear your boundaries for days ahead. I am repositioning my people, and getting them in place for the war ahead. Excuse me. You must come into my order and express and demonstrate who I am. This is not a day for you to go your own way. This is a day for you to listen intently and align yourself. I am creating boundaries for you and causing generations to align, for war is being transformed from heaven into earth. I've set angels in every corner and established every border of your field, you know, of your field where God's going to have you be, your field. Listen for the wind over your field and look for a new yield. I am setting my order for you and calling you to understand the way I move in order. I am calling you into a first alignment for the days ahead. This is a time to listen and know that the way is changing. Don't settle for anything less than the boundaries I have established. Don't settle for anything less than what I have given you this hour. You hear that? I am calling you to be a land clearer. I am calling you to begin to understand how to clear the land for the future and how to make way for the highways that I am bringing from heaven into the earth realm. This is a change and a transfer of a new day into the earth realm. And this day will cause you to triumph in conflict if you will come into my order and align as generations. See that? That there's that if. You have to do what God's calling you to do. War for this new alignment. War for the alignment in your boundaries for the days ahead. He said in war, because the enemy is trying to take your boundaries. This alignment will bring you into a great victory and order and cause you to overtake the enemy. Many would love to stay in peace and speak peace, peace, but there is no peace. War for holiness. I'm sorry, war for wholeness, war for power, war for the new that I am calling down this hour. It's really time to go into the heavenly courtrooms and war. I am doing reconnaissance right now and causing my people to know what their real strongholds are. I am causing my people to know what has resisted them in the days past. She really says, I am causing my people to know what has resisted them in days past. Your future is not your past. So move in and move up against what has stopped you in other seasons. This is a week where war manifests before your eyes. This week. This is not a day for just walking in the earth. This is a day for soaring and running in the heavens. So we see, we have to go into the heavens. If you will soar in the heavens, then you will soar in the earth. This soaring is what will win this season. This soaring is what will triumph in days ahead. Do not look with just your eyes at what appears to be something. Things will now appear as they are. I am transferring an anointing upon my people because there is war beginning to manifest throughout the earth realm. I am releasing a new frequency in the earth realm, coming straight from heaven. This frequency will hit your spirit and train your hands for war in a way they've not been trained in the past. This frequency will cause your body to react, wait for it, and move in war when it hits you. I am illuminating the path of the glory of war. I am illuminating the path of the glory of war. The glory of war will uncover mysteries that have not been understood in past seasons. The aspect of war that has been lost in generations, the glory of war is illuminating your path forward. See, right now, God is, from what he's speaking here, he is wanting us to be all that he's called us forth to be. The strong towers that he's been building us into. Because he wants to reveal things to us that others are not going to be able to see. All right? You're entering a new day, and with every new day you enter, you receive new favor. Decree the favor to step into something you have never stepped into. This is a day to understand the dragon's movement and to know that birth is nigh. The dragon is moving because my people are ready to birth what will be the triumph rule of the earth realm. Look, see the dragon, watch the bride go into labor, and then watch for 2 years over how to walk in my plan and clear the land ahead. It's a 2-year period he's talking about. The place that you have looked at is not a war venue. If you don't hear from heaven, you won't be able to walk out the victories that I am bringing to the body of Christ. What did he say? The place that you have looked at is not a war venue. If you don't hear from heaven, you won't be able to walk out the victories that I am bringing to the body of Christ. Listen to how I tell you to move. In other words, you have to hear his voice. It's desperate. Hear sounds of victory that will pave the way before you. Hear my new word for the new day. This will not be a gentle day. It will be a day my people walk with great strength and great authority. You are being equipped for the day into which you are entering. You see, this is serious. We're warriors and we're going into a big war, and God is equipping us for that. Then this other thing says, two must-see messages at this turning point. He said, we are in a different season for so long we prepared for the new, but now we have crossed over. We're already crossed over Jordan, all right? Then this is Chuck Pierce speaking. Incredible revelation came forth in both of yesterday's services. These turning point messages are so key to review in light of the word about his 4 months of danger. So they've been saying the next 4 months is months of danger. And we have to be very on alert at what's going on around about us at all times because the enemy is attacking on all sides. Be sure. Then he said to be sure to watch Robert Heidler's teaching on Seek First the Kingdom. But I'm not concerned about that. I'm concerned about what's going on now, that we're heading into that deep war that God has been talking about. I don't know. I got this message off of it came in my email. I think it was Charisma. I can look it up, and Chris can send it out if you like. I'll send it to you, Chris, and you can send it out. So they need to read this again. You just can't go. I had to read it 4 or 5 times, and just really, I really had, you had to get the emergency messages in here, and it's like a really deep warning. And he also said, a little blurb was above it, that something else is going to follow this. He has another message that God gave them that he's going to print in the next couple of days. So there's a follow up on this. But however you look at it, we need to understand that we are in full blown war with the enemy. And he's coming in at all sides. And God's been telling us we have to be warriors, we have to be strong towers. But have we been working toward that? You know, that's what it all amounts to. Have we been working toward that? All right, now let's go into the message that I have prepared. And so I can, you know, God is so wonderful, because I'm teaching about what power does Satan have in this world and what are his limits. We're going to learn about that tonight. And then I come across, we're in war. So God's told us beforehand, you know, what we should do for this battle. All right, in all that swirls around us today, from news headlines to daily life struggles, we may be aware more than ever of this one thing. We are in a battle. Every single day that we are here breathing air, we face an enemy. We may not see it. We might forget he's there. We may lose our focus when things seem tough, or get distracted on all that doesn't really matter. That's the big issue here now. Satan is sending distraction to us, causing us to look at the little things but missing the big picture. Are you understanding that? But the truth is, spiritual forces are at work. There's one who lurks around us today. He's real, he's alive, he's deceptive, and he's crafty. His primary goal is to strike you down, along with as many others as he can drag down with you. He waits, searches, and watches for the best time to attack your weakest and most vulnerable moments. And every one of us in here tonight, we know that that's when he attacks us, whenever we're the weakest, doesn't he? When we're down, then he kicks us. Satan is the enemy of every believer, not just one or two believers, but every believer. And he's not just some guy in a red suit, pitchfork in hand. You know, my kids think that's what he is. I said, no, he's a very handsome man, long blonde hair and beautiful blue eyes. That's what Satan looks like. I know, I've seen him. He's come to me face to face a couple of times. And I'm telling you, he's not some guy with a pitchfork and horns. Don't be fooled. He's far more deceptive than that. He wants nothing more than to silence every Christian and render us completely ineffective. See that? All right, Satan seeks to gain ground today in as many ways as he can, and in every corner of our world, for he knows his time is limited. But we don't have to let him win the battle in our lives. We do not have to let him win the battle in our lives. You know, sometimes I feel like I just got born again, because I'm a little bit dumb at times. I've been dealing with an issue for a couple of days, and I kept saying, God, I need to know how to get this person help. You just need to talk to me. You just need to tell me, you know, who I can call and who could help this person, really get them out of this hole that they're in. So today I was sitting at my computer doing something, and God said, how about deliverance? He said, because without deliverance, you can get all the help you want, and this person's never going to change. Deliverance is where it's at. I said, duh. You know, how dumb. We try to do things. I want the person to go to counseling and this and that and the other, and I couldn't find nobody. And God said, how about deliverance? So hopefully I can talk the person into deliverance. But, you know, I was saying, God, just let me, you know, give me a telephone number, give me something. I was asking him, but so he finally told me the answer. Made me wait 2 days because I was so dumb. I should have right away known that deliverance is the answer, right? That's how the enemy works. Kept me going around the circle, and I kept saying to Teresa, and can we do this, and can we do that? Somebody else, can we do this, can we do that? Yeah, does anybody have any phone numbers? And all the time, I just sit in the presence of the Father, said, all right, God, this is your problem, not mine. You tell me how to handle it. He would have told me that day, but he let me stew on it for 2 days because I kept asking everybody else how to do it. All right. I bet he was really mad. that I got my answer. We must be alert to what the devil's schemes are so that we are not tricked and taken off guard. God reminds us in his word to constantly be aware of the devil's schemes. If we're aware of how the enemy operates and know what his weaknesses are, he loses effectiveness. The best soldiers understand that when you're in a war, you're never going to win if you don't know who it is you're fighting against. We must be alert to what his schemes are so that we're not tricked and taken off guard. And Revelation 12:4 says, his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. The dragon was thrown out of heaven, and his tail brought a third of the angels with him. Now Isaiah 14:11 said, your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments. The maggot is spread under you, and worms cover you. He's talking about the devil. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation of the further sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. See, that's what Satan is nothing. Then Ezekiel 28:12 says, son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. He is a created being. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. God established him. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. See what God allowed him to do? You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created to iniquity was found in you. He was perfect. He had free roam. He could roam anywhere he wanted to. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings, and that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, by iniquity of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. So Ezekiel tells us how Satan was cast out of heaven and that a third of the angels fell with him. Though his power is limited, he has many dark forces on his side. We may not know exactly how many demons are at work in this world, yet we can know, according to Scripture, there are many. And though the enemy's threat may seem real and fierce, he is not all-powerful. He wants to be, he pretends to be, but the Bible tells us differently. There are things he'd prefer you didn't know about him because it reveals his weaknesses. All right, the limitations of Satan's power. Satan can't be everywhere at the same time. He must travel around. Satan cannot be everywhere at the same time. He must travel around. Satan has evil forces at work for him, but he is limited in what he can do and where he can be. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. See, and that's why when we have sin in our lives, that's why he can devour you. He's looking for those who are disobedient. And when you're disobedient, a door is open that he can come through. I know that because God told me that about myself last night, all right? Job 1:6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Now the sons of God were the angels, all right? Came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? So Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. See, Satan knew all about Job and what God had done for him. But now, Satan says, but now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. So here, Satan's words indicate that he must travel about, not able to be in all places at one time. His power is limited in where he can be and all that he can do. But God is omnipresent. God can be everywhere at the same time. In Psalm 121 verse 3 says, he will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So God never sleeps or slumbers, according to the word. He's aware every moment of every day exactly what we're up against. He knows our way and is with us always. There's no place on this earth we can go that he doesn't see and know about. Just like when I was going to eat that peanut, God said, who are you hiding from? I'm everywhere. I see you wherever you go. So you guys that sneak into the shower and do your thing, or you women, God's in there with you and he's watching everything you're doing. Are you understanding this? And when you sneak into a corner somewhere with a laptop and look at pornography, God's sitting right there beside you watching, saying, I can't believe you stooped this low again. Are you understanding this? We're not hiding from anybody. And, you know, if those are listening to God's voice and hear God's voice, God's telling them what you're doing. So you're really not, your only person you're hiding from is yourself. You're deceiving your own self. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Satan is not in full control. His power is limited by God. Satan's power is limited and his destination is certain. So he seeks to take as many with him into destruction as he possibly can, knowing full well that his time is limited. The book of Job is again a reminder of the enemy's limitations. He must ask God for permission to bring harm to this God-fearing man, Job. See that? Ephesians 2:2 refers to the devil as the ruler of the kingdom of the air and says he works in the hearts of the disobedient. His main aim is to steal, kill, and destroy us in John 10:10 and calls him a thief. We should be very aware that as we stand against him, we are only secure in the armor of God. That's why we have to put on our armor every day. And protected by his power. We cannot fight this enemy alone. You need to get that through your thick head. We cannot fight this enemy alone, yet God reminds us to stand strong. He reminds us that there is indeed a real enemy, and he assures us that he is the one who will fight our battles and give us final victory. You know, God will fight our battles for him. Every time God told me Satan was after me and told me exactly what he was going to do, he said, you just stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. In other words, he was saying, you don't do nothing. You just keep on with me. I'm going to fight this battle for you. Amen. Satan isn't strong at all. We give him power through our fear and through our weaknesses and really through our own desires. That's how he gets his powers, because we give it to him. It's not up to us or our power. So it says, and God assures us that he is the one who will fight our battles and give us final victory. It's not up to us or our power and strength. We don't have enough in and of ourselves. But through Christ and his completed work on the cross, we can stand strong and believe that he is the one who will lead us through even the fiercest battles. All right? But our God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He reigns supreme. He gives us what we need for every moment in this life. He strengthens us. His Spirit guides us and empowers us for His purposes. He alone holds the power to forgive, the power to set free, and the power to save, and the power to give eternal life. And Revelation 19:1 says, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. And then Luke 1:37, for nothing will be impossible with God. See, the enemy keeps trying to make you believe things are impossible, and they really and truly are not. And the reason why he can convince you they are impossible is because you don't get your answer in a week, or 2 weeks, or a year, or 2 years, or 3 years. So he keeps making sure that your doubt gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Are you listening here? Remember the woman whose husband left her, and she would act like he was still there every time she ate. She sent him a plate too. She never talked like he was gone, and she kept believing he was going to come back. And in the process, he married somebody else, and then she just kept setting the table for him too. And then finally one day, he called her and said, can we please talk? He had left his second wife, and they got back together, and both of them are serving God with all their heart. But she never once ever gave up that they wouldn't be together. Never. She never talked doubt and unbelief. She was taught not to do that. And she just kept believing. And she kept setting that table. She'd even sit and talk to him like he was there. No. And she says, he'll be here. And he was. But if she'd have got into doubt and unbelief, he wouldn't have been there. But she believed God for the impossible. All right, number three, the enemy does not know all. If our enemy does not know all, he cannot read our minds, nor does he possess the power to have the full knowledge that God has. He can overhear our conversations, even to ourselves, when we are talking out loud. Are you hearing that? He observes our behavior, decisions, and knows our weaknesses. We should stay very aware that he is studying our lives and can predict our responses based on past decisions. Are you listening here? See, the devil knew that my children were my weakness, and so that he was attacking them because of me. But I did not give up. I did not give in. I kept on going because I know what God had promised me about my kids, and God is bringing it to pass. All right? I didn't quit so that he'd quit harassing my children, because my walk was with God. You can be sure that the enemy will use any of our shortcomings to his advantage against us, but he still does not know what God knows. We can be confident of this because of Matthew 4:1-11. In Matthew 4:1-11, he speaks to Jesus in the wilderness and brings temptation against him. Yet there's no indication that he knows ahead of time how our Lord will respond. See that? Even if he did know how God was going to respond, he would still try to tempt him. You know, even if he knows how you're going to respond, you know, he'll still try to tempt you, because he's hoping that he can weaken you to the point where you'll give in. And how many of you know that there has been times where you were just about to that point where you were going to give in to something that you should not give in to? But then God... You started thinking about God and his promises, and you keep on going. No matter what we've done, where we've been, or past mistakes we've made, no matter what information the enemy tries to hold against us, we do not have to be held back in fear. I was totally taken back at how many people in the body of Christ walk in fear. When we have a God who is an all-knowing God and holds us in the palm of his hands, and he tells us in his word that the enemy has no power and authority, they still walk in fear. It totally blows my mind. But God is omniscient. He is all-knowing. He sees all and knows all. He knows everything about us, every word before we say it, and every thought before we think it. And he still loves us more than we could ever imagine. He is the one we live for. We trust in the power of his truth, not the voice or the lies of the enemy. Psalm 147:5 says, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. Psalm 139:2. You know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. He's talking to God. He says, you know when I sit and when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. Satan is a created being. He is not equal to God. Remember, we read during the beginning he was created. Many times people may make the mistake of assuming that Satan is an opposing force which is equal to God. But the enemy is far from equal to God Almighty. He was created as an angel in heaven. He was there to bring worship to God himself. And because of pride of his own desire to be worshipped, he fell down from heaven, taking many angels with him. And if you think about Saul, that was his downfall. He wanted to be worshipped. And when David started getting all the attention, Saul really got upset and messed up. And this is what Satan, so that shows you that that's Satan that comes into you, because Satan wanted to be worshipped. These are the dark forces we wage war against in this life. But the truth to remember is that Satan was an angelic being created by a loving God. By his own choices, he fell from his position in heaven, and his destiny is doomed. It was his choice. Isaiah 41:13 says, how you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain. See that? Well, I can preach or teach better than they can. There's Satan, wanting to be worshipped. God alone is a creator. He made us, the world, all that we see and know, everything that exists around us is because God himself brought it into being. That is a power the enemy could never duplicate or manipulate. It says in Genesis, in the beginning, God created, right? Doesn't say Satan created, God. Satan is not God. Satan is not the creator. God is clear in his word that his angels are under his command, doing his work and obeying his word. And Isaiah 45:18 says, for thus says the Lord, he who created the heavens, he is God. He formed the earth and fashioned it. He established it. He did not create it to be empty, but formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is no other. Psalm 103:20, praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. See them. And number five, the devil's destiny is already determined. He's lost the battle. See, this is what I don't understand. We need to understand that he's already lost. So we're really working with a defeated foe. There's no victory circle when you work for the devil or let the devil work through you. You're just hitting against a brick wall, and you're not going to get anywhere. Amen? Come on. Scripture is clear that the end of Satan and all his demons and dark forces will come. Will come. He cannot stand against God Almighty. He will never hold the final victory against the Lord and his children. Christ has already won that battle when he defeated sin and death by his work on the cross. It's only a matter of time that the enemy is cast down once and for all. Revelation 20:10 says, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet had been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. A lot of people are down there with him, and they're going to get the same thing. They're going to be tormented forever and ever because they believe the lie. They would not believe the truth. Maybe the time seems slow in coming. The spiritual battle around us continues to escalate, and it's hard some days to keep going strong. And that's true. And we do get weary. You know, have you noticed a lot of the songs now are saying, it was easy for me to separate, tell you it's okay and you can make it, but now it's hard. It was in those days. You know, everything was easy and couldn't figure out why you couldn't make it. But now we're fighting the big demons, and they're coming at everybody. And especially coming after you if you're called to be a leader, because he wants to put doubt and confusion in your mind so that you'll give in to him, and then you're defeated and everybody under you falls. Are you listening here? We wonder why the attacks keep coming, and sometimes we feel all alone. But God longs for as many as possible to know his love. He is kind and merciful and wants many more to know the freedom Christ offers. Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. It was about 3 years ago God started teaching us on not growing weary and well doing. He knew these hard days were coming, and he warned us before they came. And he tried to get us to be strong at that point. This one truth rings true no matter what we face in this life. Christ won already. Jesus won the victory over the enemy. He crushed his head, and Satan's doom is coming as the last days are upon us. May God keep us forever aware that time is short. May we continue to be a light in a dark world that seeks to point others to Christ's love and forgiveness. How bright is your light? How bright is your light? You know, is it shining brightly to dim the darkness, or even put the darkness completely out? How bright is your light? And you know, you need to understand we are fighting a devil right now who is really mad. And he's out for vengeance. And he's getting as many as he can before the final day comes, because he knows time is short, and time is shorter than what we think. God told me a while back. And saints of God, we have got to be on the alert at all times. You cannot let down your guard at any time. You have to be constantly, you know, seeking God's face, constantly having him on your mind. If you don't, the enemy's going to come in there and take the place that God should dwell in your mind. There is hope because of Jesus. The enemy would want us to think all hope is gone, but we know better. And there's a few of us in here that, you know, that I know and who comes here still that all hope is gone as far as they're concerned. And you know, now because they let yourself fall to that level, now they have to start coming back up again. And you know, and that now you have to have people around about you who love you and care for you and will undergird you and pray for you until you get back up on your feet again. Jesus is victorious, and because of him we live free. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. See that? Christ overcame all evil. The power of the resurrection proves he won, and that same power fights for us even now. The enemy may try every scheme possible to distract, tempt, or lure us away with fear, lies, and manipulation. But as believers, he does not hold our future in his hands. Hello. He doesn't. He does not hold our future in his hands. God has our future in his hands. Only God does that, and we are forever secure in his power. And Romans 8:37 says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I wish the body of Christ would grab a hold of that scripture right there. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. See that? I've been sending emails to the intercessor, and you need to be really praying really hard about the things I send to you, because there's a lot of things up in the air right now that are very, very important. And if we don't pray, the enemy's going to have his way. You know, in your household, if you don't pray, the enemy's going to have his way. In your own lives, individual lives, don't worry about your whole household, your own individual life. If you don't pray, the enemy's going to take you out. You know, it's you that's messed up, not your whole household. Let's put it that way. And you were the one who got yourself there. I don't know how you got there, but you're the one who got yourself there. And because you got yourself there, then you have to pray, and you have to war, and you have to get yourself set free. And believe me, God has people all over the world praying for you. You're not the only one. Oh, God, if I don't do this for myself, I don't get no help. That is not true. God told me years ago, daughter, you don't know. All over the world, I have people know your name and they're praying for you. All over the world. And I'm no different than you all. God has your name on other people's lips too. And all over the world, they're praying for you to be strong and secure in Christ. So don't give me that stuff you're out there praying all by yourself, because that's not true. All right? Where am I at? In whatever you face, know that God is with you, know that God is for you, and God fights for you. If you don't get this down in your spirit, you're not going to make it. I I know this. And that's the only thing that keeps me going from day to day to day to day, because the enemy fights me each and every day with something greater than he did the day before. He just doesn't run out of things to think up, to fight you with. So in whatever you face, know that God is with you, know that God is for you, and know God fights for you. May God's grace and strength fill you today as you live aware of his constant covering and protection. He's constantly with you. I don't care what is going on in your life. God is constantly there covering you. I can verify that. He's with you no matter what's going on in your life. And if you just allow him to, and if you just trust him, you know, every time I said, God, I know that you love me. He says, I'm glad you know that. And then he starts telling me things. But sometimes until I say that, it just dawned on me yesterday, oh, every time I say, God, I know you love me, you start speaking to me. You know, and I, because I do know that God loves me. So do you have it down in your heart? Do you know that God loves you? Do you know that God is there for you? Do you know that God is undergirding you? Do you know that no matter what's going on in your life, that God is in control of it? I was reading about testimonies and how powerful your testimony really is. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done, how bad, I'm talking about bad. You know, your testimony is going to really help others on down the road. With what God's getting ready to do, every one of you in here, every one of us in here, our testimonies are going to give other people hope and courage that they can go make it too. But only if you're making it. You know, you can't walk around with your head stuck down between your legs, acting like you just, you know, God just knocked your head off because he told you how to get it right. You have to know that, be secure in God. Be secure in God and know that he is in control of your life. This is a problem of the body of Christ. You don't believe that. You do not believe that God is in control of your life, and he is. He is. He always will be, unless you tell him you don't want him. All right? All right, right. Stay close to God, live aware, and stand strong. Remember Revelations 21 and 3. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil, and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He's going to be bound up for 1,000 years. Are you going to be bound up with him? Come on, don't shake your head no. You have to work at saying, I hope not. By the grace of God, I'm not going to go down and be with him. I'm not going to go there. Well, I'm just watching old pride go right with Satan, right? Because you really don't know. You really don't know what... when you're in a weak moment, what Satan can throw at you, and you give into it, and that moment he kills you. You don't know that. So your best thing to do is say, by the grace of God, I'm going to make it. Amen. Without God, I'm not going to, but by the grace of God, I'm going to make it. All right, so then, and he cast the devil into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. See, it says so he would deceive. He's a deceptive being. Deception runs rampant in the house of God. I was just reading where, they're swearing. Swearing's terrible, isn't it? You hear it everywhere. And there was an article saying they even heard somebody, one of the people that work in the White House, swearing to the president. And they said that God showed them that a spirit of profanity has been let loose on the earth. And I believe that. I've never heard such cussing in all my life that goes on in my own house. You know, sometimes I wish I had earplugs. And I keep saying, you don't do that in my house. But guess what? The minute my back turned, they do. And I can't, it's ridiculous. What comes out of your mouth? Something, what comes out of your mouth? You think Satan won't make you so mad or something that you'll say something you shouldn't say? Not me. Well, tomorrow, whenever you do it, well, just remember you said not me today. I'll never do that. Lo and behold, there you are. Might be a year down the road, but there you are. See, don't ever be like that. That's cocky. That's pride. But for the grace of God, there go I. Amen. Well, you know that Satan is absolutely positively nothing if you listen at all to the teaching tonight. You know he has no power, no authority unless you give it to him. And you know that you have all power and all authority because you're a son or a daughter of God. And you know that you've already won the victory, and all you have to do is just keep running the race. You know, it's just, if you read about the disciples, you know, they just ran the race, didn't they? They messed up, though, didn't they? But when they messed up, they said, God, forgive me. Then they ran as hard as they could run for him. But I don't see that in the disciples in the body of Christ. Well, God, forgive me. I messed up. You don't continue to run the race. You just continue to mess up. And we need to quit messing up. And we need to continue to run the race. And we need to let the world see that there is a true God. And let the world see that true God through you. Are you understanding this? See, I tell you what I do wrong so that you say, oh, okay, so she's dumb too at times. You know. I mean, we're all human. We're all human. And we all have our flaws. But we don't brag about them. When we don't keep them, we try to increase ourselves in Christ to get rid of those flaws and try to become more like Christ every day. Amen. So are you ready? Are you really ready to esteem Christ as the one true God? The only one that can really bring you through? Are you really ready to get rid of Satan 100% out of your life and tell him he's absolutely nothing? As I was putting this together and just thinking about it later on, I kept thinking about the guy who was, you know, wrote that book. He was a devil worshiper. He was Satan's son and, you know, and all the things that he went through and how he broke loose from Satan. And he really did some killed people and everything. And how he broke loose from Satan and how Satan attacked him in his health, attacked his family. But he did not go back to Satan because he realized that God was a true God. And God had more power and authority than the Satan who gave him power and authority. But it was false power and authority. And now he's out there telling the world, the church and the world about Satan and about God. And you should serve God and not Satan. And he's being attacked every day, but he's not giving in. Like another Paul, he's not giving in. Like another Peter, he's not giving in. He's going to go ahead and suffer if he has to, but he's going to make sure that as many people as he can reach can know that Satan is absolutely, positively nothing and no power. All right. Well, the altar's open if you really want to say, God, you are supreme in my life. I want nothing at all to do with Satan ever again. And I submit myself totally and completely to you. The altar's open.